In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Some of you might be wondering, why is it we're not singing carols? Because a lot of churches will be singing carols now as we approach Christmas. And the reason for that is that we are in a period of preparation called Advent. We're not there yet, Christmas. We're still waiting for the event. And in one sense, we're breaking liturgical law by even putting up our Christmas tree. The only reason I've put the Christmas tree up is because we have lots of children coming here this next week, hundreds of them, to experience the church and a bit about Christmas. We have Christmas services here, so I wanted the place to look at least welcoming for them. So this old time is a time of preparation, waiting, watching for the coming of our Saviour. And I asked you last week, are we ready to meet the Lord? Are we ready to meet him today in this service? If you allow yourself, God could speak to you in a very special way today. This could be a special moment for you if your heart is open. Are we ready for him to come as the Christ child at Christmas, the incarnation? And are we ready for him to come when the ages will be wound up? And of course also, we never know when we're going to meet our Maker now. What might come our way? What we might face? Our own personal mortality and our own death. And all these things we reflect on during this period, because we have to make our hearts ready and open to the life of God. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Second, today I want to ask you this next question. Can you learn to live beyond your circumstance? Can you learn to live beyond your circumstance? Or does what happens to you daily, week by week, define who you are? Can you learn to live beyond your circumstance? So I'm driving down the road and I come into a red light and somebody cuts me up in my car and I get very angry and I chase after them for some uncrazy reason. You see, I haven't learned to live beyond my circumstance. Or I was in Bruges, Belgium this week. Barbara and I went to the Christmas market in Bruges. Wonderful. Long queue to get one of these fantastic hot dogs that they serve. Delicious beer. They don't know how to queue in Belgium. So all the people were rushing ahead of me, and I thought, these people aren't English, obviously. It wound me up. I've not learned to live beyond my circumstance. You see, if you don't learn to live beyond your circumstance, your life will constantly be in a state of flux. What comes this way, that way, who knows what will happen next? And it's so important as Christians that we learn to live beyond something than our circumstance and what comes our way. I want to talk about that in a moment. I've noticed that a reason a lot of people don't live beyond their circumstance, even those that come to church, is because when a lot of people come to church, I look at them and they look thoroughly miserable. A friend of mine said, I don't want to go to church. I said, why not? He says, because most people who go there are miserable. Do you recognize that? Because even though they might have a faith, they still haven't learned to live beyond their circumstance. It might be up here, but it's not here. Len Gray, who was a wonderful member of our congregation here, and we miss him dearly, headmaster, wonderful musician, wonderful contribution he made to the life of God here. I remember he said to me once, he said, I used to go to a church in Saffron Walden. Sunday night we used to have this meeting. It was quite dreary, really. And then on the way from church, we'd go past the pub. And he'd look into the pub and he thought to himself, they have a lot more fun in there than we had in church. It's true, isn't it? You see, we haven't discovered what Christianity calls joy. In our reading, it says at the end of Romans 15 today that we had read to us, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. What is Christian joy? Christian joy is a deep, knowing gladness that comes from God and not from our circumstance. Let me hear that again. Christian joy is a deep and knowing gladness that comes from God, not from our circumstance. If you begin to experience this joy, then all of a sudden, the things that come your way on a daily basis, your circumstance, begins to affect you less. And by the way, this sermon is as much for me as it is for you. All the sermons are as much for me as they are for you, because I too wrestle daily with stresses and things that come our way that impact on our family life that we rather weren't there, and often I can allow these things to define me. But the Christian is the person who, through the power of the Spirit, suddenly finds a deep gladness that comes from God and not from our circumstance. You see, it comes back to whether or not we know God or not. So when I see people who come to church and they're persistently miserable, maybe it's because they haven't got a joy because they don't know God. Because when we know God, there is a joy in it, and a vitality, and a life. And that's why the Christmas story is so important, because it's a bizarre story. There's joy all the way through it. There's joy to Elizabeth and Mary. There's joy to the angels and the shepherds. There's joy in the journey. There's joy in the homelessness. There's joy in these rather bizarre visitors who turn up at the nativity scene. There's joy in a journey to a foreign country. And somehow, even the slaughter of the innocents, somehow there's a thread of God through it all. It's bizarre. That's the Christmas story. That's what the story's about. Joy, a gladness that comes from knowing God. And you know, this joy that enables you to survive almost everything, if you really know it, can even mean that you can find joy in the New Testament, even in our suffering. Can you believe that? That a Christian, it's constantly repeated in the epistles and in the New Testament, that a Christian can even find a gladness and a knowing in suffering. I've met people who, let me give you an example, and I hope Kemi won't mind me telling you this. COVID came. Kemi has a senior responsibility in Hillingdon Park, Hillingdon Hospital. She's African. Like all of us, not young. There weren't any vaccines around, and she had huge responsibility at the hospital. She went to work. I noticed that it didn't affect her, that she continue to work. Because of her circumstance, she was most vulnerable. But she continued to work and bless that place in a very difficult, vulnerable situation. And the reason she was able to do that, I believe, was because she knows the Lord. And that gave her a vitality and an energy, a gladness that comes despite the difficulty and the circumstance of working through COVID in Hillingdon Hospital when there are no vaccines, yet most vulnerable. She was wonderfully faithful. That's an example of Christian joy. It comes from a relationship with God. And therefore it builds in us a knowing and a longing and an understanding that whatever comes our way, all will be well, all manner of things will be well, living beyond our circumstance. So bless you, Kemi. And I'm sure that you know people who are much the same and similar. How do you get this joy? First of all, you've got to spend time with God. Secondly, you've got to ask the Holy Spirit to fill your life. In the birth narratives of Jesus, constantly we get this dual scenario, joy and the Holy Spirit. Joy and the Holy Spirit, they go together. And if you want to have joy in your life so that you are able to have a gladness that is beyond circumstances, you need to ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit, our dove up there. That's what you need. And also you need to learn to praise God in everything. To lift up your hand to God and pray your voice to God and praise him in everything. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. So in your work situation, learn to praise God because he inhabits those praises. When you go home from here today, learn to praise God because he inhabits those praises. When you're frustrated on your N25 trying to get to work and all sorts of things are coming your way and you don't know what the choice is next, learn to praise God because he inhabits the praises of his people and then he brings gladness that comes from God that is beyond your circumstance. That's the deal. I wonder whether a lot of people remain miserable in church because they don't know this. They need the vitality and power of the Spirit in their life. They need to open their heart to God and learn to praise him and welcome him in a fresh and new way. So it becomes real for them and they connect and they come alive. I'll finish with a story. I've told it to you before. It's Christmas Eve. I personally am in a very difficult place, a dark place. I've lost a significant job and a very lucrative income. I've got a young family. I've just lost my dad. Two major things impacted on me. I was in a dark place. Christmas Eve, 11:30, I decided to go to church, to St. Mary's Harrow on the Hill. In the darkness of the night, before any candles were lit, at the back of the church, the priest began to announce these words. He said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who walk in the shadow of darkness, on them has the light shone." In my difficult place, those words from Isaiah, the fifth gospel it's called, shot into my heart and mind. And suddenly I connected with a gladness and a joy because I realized these things are true and they sustain us. And these are words from God and they're words from God for me. I was converted that night. And I walked out of that church having heard those wonderful words of Isaiah. The fifth gospel it's called, Isaiah. That's why we read from him during Advent. I walked out to that church that night, converted and changed into a new day, Christmas Day. So listen, lift your life out of the misery today, will you? Learn to connect with these things that are real. Ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit and bring a gladness that is steady and knowing and continuous. And live beyond your circumstance. Because if you don't, you will never gain any control in your life. Everything will come its way and it will send you in the wrong direction. You will be in a constant state of flux. This is what Advent's about, the invitation to find the truth in the story again. And it's powerful, it's real, it changed my life that night. And the joy of the Christian story is what sustained Kemi during COVID before the vaccines came and enabled to work there and bring joy and life to others. It's real, people. And I pray that we will come to know it. Amen.
In this season of Advent, we are mindful that you sent your servant, John the Baptist, to prepare your people to welcome the Messiah. We pray for Lyndon at this time as he brings the true message of Advent to the people of our parish, a message sometimes drowned out by cards and jingle bells and hard to see through the tinsel and the trees. Give us a sense of expectation as we come and inspiration as we go. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray for those amongst our families, friends, and neighbours who will only see in Advent a hectic and worrying run-up to the excesses of a secular Christmas. Help us as we try to set an example of the true spirit of preparation for that incredibly precious gift of the Christ child. May they see in our services, our carols, and Christingles, the true meaning of Christmas, and experience your love for them through the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who cannot afford to heat their homes this winter and those who struggle to feed their families. May we all have a genuine concern for those who are most vulnerable in our society. We also pray specially for the lonely. As the Christmas season concentrates on families and creates images of happiness and joy, those who have no family and no one to buy presents for, and receive no presents, feel their loneliness most at this time of year. Let us all do our part to make sure no one is left out. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you have made us rich in so many ways, and yet we fail to share these riches with others. Forgive us when we do so little to help the other parts of the world where there is suffering, starvation, sickness, and violence. We pray for the people of Israel, Gaza, Sudan, and Ukraine in the continuing conflicts. May there be a just peace and an end to suffering and oppression. Drive away despair from our politics. Revive our dreams of justice and truth, and restore our passion for what is good and right. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your world is beautiful, Lord, yet we continue to spoil it and act as though its resources are infinite. We pray that some lasting decisions and actions may now come from the talks in Belém, after so many years of discord and inaction. Make our leaders wise stewards of our world so that future generations can enjoy the same bounty that we have. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, we ask you to enfold in your love those in our community who are on the margins of society, the homeless and despairing, those whose illness stems from a mental issue, the hungry and unemployed, the disabled, and those with addictions. We pray for those whom this day will be long and painful, for those in hospital or ill at home, those struggling with despair or depression, and for all who care for them. And today we pray especially for Earl Adams, Michael Donnellan, Lenore Meccano Green, Malcolm George, Emily Rockingham, Pam Storey, Martin Vowles, David Udall, Angela Zadurian, and Anton Thivasalium. Comfort and heal all who suffer. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we pray for those who have recently died, and for those for whom this day will be their last. Be near to all who mourn and comfort them, with the knowledge that in the coming of your Son, Jesus, the gates of heaven will be opened wide for all who accept him as Lord and Saviour. And this week we remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Edward Perry, Alan Wren, and Linda Hart. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We always hear that it is better to give than to receive. In all our rush to buy food, drinks, and presents, let us not forget that the greatest gift at Christmas is your gift of love and forgiveness that Jesus brought to us. Merciful Lord, accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.